Penguin Random House Audio presents Isaiah's Daughter, a novel of prophets and kings by Misu Andrews, read for you by Kirby Hayborn and Nan McNamara.
To my husband, Roy, like Hezzy and Zeba, who knew each other since childhood, there is only we. Songs are written of sons, but daughters are left to whispers. So gather near, friend, to hear of a daughter beyond imagining. She had the heart of a lion, braver than a soldier, wiser than a king. She was queen in Judah long after King David's bones had turned to dust, long after the arrogance of Solomon's son split Israel into two nations. When the northern tribes seized the name Israel, the southern tribes called their new nation Judah and placed David's descendants on their throne. Judah's capital was the city of Jerusalem, and its god was named Yahweh. But Israel bowed to pagan gods and even led some of Judah's kings astray. Yahweh's prophets spewed warnings, and Judah's brave daughter, the lion-hearted queen, dared ask the prophets, why? When? And how will Yahweh's judgment fall? One incomparable prophet answered, foretelling a serious cruelty as Yahweh's weapon of wrath. Isaiah, a man born to royalty, shouted at kings and comforted beggars. The records proclaim him husband to a prophetess and father of two sons. This is recorded, detailed, written. But what of his daughter? Her story begins when the northern kingdom of Israel joins forces with Aram, a neighboring nation. They attack Judah in retribution for refusing to join their coalition against Assyria. Isaiah prophesies to Judah's King Ahaz a promise and a warning. Ahaz ignores both. His decision forever changes the life of Isaiah's daughter. Part 1. Now Ahaz, king of Judah, was told, Aram has allied itself with Israel. So the hearts of Ahaz and his people were shaken. Then the Lord said to Isaiah, go out, you and your son, Jashub, to meet Ahaz at the end of the aqueduct of the upper pool. Say to him, don't be afraid because of the fierce anger of Aram and Israel. This is what the sovereign Lord says. It will not take place, but if you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights. But Ahaz said, I will not ask. Then Isaiah said, the Lord will bring on you and on your people and on the house of your father a time unlike any since Israel broke away from Judah. He will bring the king of Assyria. Isaiah chapter 7, verses 2 through 4, 7, 9 through 13, and 17. Chapter 1. The men of Israel took captive from their fellow Israelites who were from Judah 200,000 wives, sons, and daughters. They also took a great deal of plunder, which they carried back to Samaria. 2 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 8. 732 BCE, Spring, Judean Wilderness. My friend Yaira said to be brave. But why? Brave or scared, we kept marching. She told me to be a big girl, not to cry. But I'm only 5, and I've seen big men crying. The raw brand on my arm throbbed and smelled like burning meat. I lost count of the days we'd been marching in the desert, long enough that the sun baked blisters all over me. These Israel soldiers called us captives. They whipped the ones who walked too slowly or cried too much. The woman in front of me kept crying for her dead children. I guess one of them looked like me, because she grabbed me sometimes, as if I belonged to her. She didn't seem to care if we were whipped for slowing the march to wherever we're going. Somewhere in Israel. Yaira would help me push her away, but it wasn't always quick enough, and then we were all beaten. The woman was whipped until she couldn't fight anymore. She screamed for her children until she had no voice. I haven't had a voice since the Israel soldiers attacked us in Bethlehem. When soldiers came through the city gates, I screamed to my Abba, but my words didn't save him. I ran into the house, crying, but my words didn't save Yaira from the soldiers who took her into the stable. They hurt her. More soldiers branded me, even though I begged them to stop. After all that, my words were gone. Ishma, Yaira nudged me from behind. Eat this. My friend laid her hand on my shoulder, a small piece of bread hiding in her fist. I shook my head. She needed it more than me. Take it, she whispered louder, before they see. Yaira was 12, so I did what she said. I took the morsel and I ate it. The crumbs stuck in my mouth. We'd had no water since yesterday. Please, Yahweh, give us water when we stop tonight. Sometimes my prayers worked. Sometimes they didn't. Mostly, they didn't. As if she knew what I was thinking, Yaira whispered again. Every day, I pray for Micah to rescue us. Her voice sounded dry like my throat. He'll come, Ishma, I promise. He'll come. Yahweh will tell him and the other prophets where to find us. I kept walking, glad I had no words. Yaira wouldn't like my questions. Why didn't Yahweh stop the soldiers before they killed my family? Who could ever find us among so many captives? Still, Yaira had as much faith in her brother, Micah, as she did in Yahweh. Micah was her only family because their parents died a long time ago. When he couldn't take care of her because he lived with the other prophets at their camp in Tekoa, Abba heard about Yaira and said she could live with us and serve as Ima's maid. Yaira said Yahweh and Micah took care of her, but it seemed to me that my family did. My face felt prickly when I thought too much about Ima and Abba. My tummy hurt too. I missed them. Who would make my favorite bread now that Ima was gone? Who would tickle me and make me giggle like Abba did? Back in Bethlehem, I held Ima's head in my lap and watched the light leave her eyes after the soldiers speared her through. I didn't see what they did to Abba. When the soldiers dragged me out of the house, Abba was lying by the stable with the same empty eyes as Ima. The soldiers wouldn't let me say goodbye. Ishma, look! Yaira pointed toward a gleaming white palace with black trimmings. It sat on a tall hill. I'd never seen anything like it. Our house had been the nicest in Bethlehem because Abba was the chief elder, but it seemed tiny compared to the palace on the hill. That must be Samaria, Israel's capital, Yaira whispered. Micah told me that he prophesied here with Hosea. Her breaths rumbled loud and fast as we climbed the steep hill. We kept walking, walking, walking toward the gates of the white city. My legs ached and I stumbled, but Yaira tugged on my arms. Don't stop, Ishma. We're almost there. I was too tired. My legs felt like water. Think of something else, little one, she said. What was Micah wearing the last time we saw him? That was a silly question. Micah always wore the same thing, a dirty brown robe. Abba said all prophets wore camel hair robes, and I asked if all prophets were as serious as Micah. Abba laughed. Micah was kind, but always frowning. especially on his last visit.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?